Good morning. This is Pastor Nick Bruckner, recording in Unalakleet, joining you in worship from wherever you are. This is March 15th, and this morning we're looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Many of you have read this parable many times before, studied it, heard sermons on it. And there's a lot going on in this parable where Jesus is explaining to the lawyer what he must do to love his neighbor, or answering the question of who his neighbor really is. The man came to Jesus with this question, curious about what he needed to do to receive salvation. And Jesus replied that he needed to love the Lord as God with all his heart and soul and mind and strength, and love his neighbor as himself. Many times preachers will focus on the identity of the neighbor, because that's the lawyer's question. And the answer that Jesus gives by the story that he tells makes it clear that people who we usually think of as our neighbors, or prefer to think of as our neighbors, are people that we have a lot in common with, people that we like, family, friends, people who are we'd be happy to have be our neighbor. And Jesus confronts a lot of those human tendencies and ways of thinking by telling the story where the Samaritan is the good neighbor to the person who fell into the hands of robbers. And it's a little bit of a shocking parable, because Jews and Samaritans did not get along. They had a bad history with one another, and they did not like each other. They spoke about each other in really negative ways, intended to avoid one another at every cost. And so the hero of the story, to this Jewish audience about a bunch of Jewish people, is kind of like a stereotypical person who Jews didn't like. And so it probably offended some people, and I think it also challenges Christians today, not just to think of maybe if there's a group of people who you don't like to associate with or talk to, or an individual or a family that you don't get along with. Jesus is calling you to treat those people with love and to help them when they have a need, to be loving and good to them. And it really falls in line with Jesus' other teaching and command that we're supposed to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us and mistreat us. And that's a sermon for another day, because today I want to focus on another aspect of the story. Another aspect of the story that we can consider is what the people who walked by the guy who was beaten on the side of the road bleeding must have been thinking. There was a Levite and there was a priest. These were leaders in the Jewish community, well-respected, people who were thought to be close to God and also known for helping other people, interceding on their behalf. And yet they just walked by this Jewish man who was beaten and bloody and stripped naked, lost everything he had, on the side of the road. They even crossed to the other side of the road to avoid getting too close to him. And it's easy to look at them and say, wow, those guys are religious hypocrites. They're really bad, and we don't ever want to ever be anything like them. But the reality is that when we are in situations where we need to help somebody that involves some measure of risk to ourselves, it's not that easy to jump in and help all the time. Seeing that guy had been robbed and beaten up, they were surely thinking, man, there's robbers around here, and they might come after me too. That might happen to me too. I need to get to where I'm going, because this road isn't safe. This neighborhood isn't safe. And thinking about stopping to help this guy, they could have easily played the mental justification game. Well, it might be his own fault. Maybe he was trying to rob somebody else, and he was overpowered by his victim, and they ended up robbing him and taking everything he had. I have a friend who grew up in Ecuador, and he told me he got jumped by a guy one time, attacked by a guy with a knife, trying to take his wallet. You know, they didn't know that my friend Ben was really strong, and so Ben, and also a little crazy, Ben decided to fight back. He ended up stealing the guy's knife and taking his wallet. He went from being a victim of this robber to robbing the robber. And it's possible that the Levite or the priest thought that had those kind of thoughts. Maybe this guy is a robber. Maybe this is a trick. Maybe this is a trap. Maybe they had one of their friends put fake blood on himself and lay on the side of the road so that someone who might come to help them would get jumped. You know, we end up going through lots of justifications or thinking our way out of helping people when it's going to cost us something. Man, I'm really late. I need to go help somebody else. Could have been one of their thoughts. But it's easy for us to come up with excuses why not to help people when it involves some measure of risk or sacrifice to ourselves. There's really an interesting letter that was written by Martin Luther, who is a leader in the church and a significant theologian that's influenced the Covenant Church a lot and the Lutheran Church and many other denominations. He wrote about 500 years ago during the second wave of the bubonic plague striking Europe. The bubonic plague was actually worse than COVID-19 and would kill people within 2 to 7 days. Almost everybody that caught it died, versus about 2% of people who catch the coronavirus ending up dying at this point. It wiped out between 75 million and 200 million people who lived in Europe and Asia. Historians aren't entirely sure of the numbers, but it would sweep through entire villages. And oftentimes, people who were rich or wealthy would just leave a village because they could afford to travel and go off to one of their remote cabins and wait out the plague. And so Luther wrote a letter to Christians. He was writing it to a friend, but it was an open letter shared with many people who are Christians, encouraging them on how to approach the plague, how to live as faithful Christians when a plague struck. And he has a lot of good insights in that letter that are relevant for our situation today. And you can actually find it on Google if you type in Luther plague. But one of the things that he writes is not to tempt God. So if you're going to go help somebody who has the plague, don't forget to take measures to protect yourself. It's ridiculous to say, oh, I'm just going to trust God for my health and I don't fear death. And so I'm going to, not wash my hands and not keep a distance. He says, Jesus doesn't want you to do that because you may pass the plague on to other people. And it would be a reckless thing to do. He calls that tempting God. But he says on the other end of the spectrum, it's easy for people to sin by living in fear, by living in terror. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to be so afraid that we don't fulfill Christ's command to love our neighbor. He says that is your Christian vocation. That is your job as a Christian, is to help your neighbor who is in need. And he actually says if you don't help your neighbor who is in need when you are able to, it's like being a murderer. That's living in sin. So take reasonable precautions. Don't put yourself at unnecessary risk, but do not neglect to help your neighbors and your friends in need. So he isn't just giving us a free pass to stay away from people who might be sick. He's not giving us the pass to completely isolate ourselves. He says, stay connected, help one another as you are able, but don't tempt God. We're encouraged to live as baptized people. Baptism is not a magical spell or something that keeps Christians safe, but in baptism, the Holy Spirit has united us to Christ and to the power of his resurrection. If you have Christ in your life, St. Paul writes in Romans 6:4, we were buried therefore with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might too walk in the newness of life. Living like you're baptized means that you believe nothing separates you from God's love in Christ Jesus. That's in Romans 8:31 through 39. When you live in baptism, you can laugh at the devil's attempts to make you fearful and afraid. Luther actually writes in his letter, send those terrors right back to Satan. You can laugh at him and say, you know what? I will not be overcome by anxiety and fear today because I've been buried with Christ and I will rise with Christ. I do not fear death, for I have Jesus in me and I am in Christ. I am united to Jesus. And there is power in the name of Jesus that is more powerful than any sickness, that is more powerful than death. We know that death looms on the horizon for us all. We will all face a day when we pass on from this life, but we need not fear that day because we have Christ in us, and Christ has conquered death. Our command as Christians is that we are to submit to God's will, and God's will is that we are to love and care for our neighbors while we have breath on this life. We don't need to fear death. We do need to fear God and remember the call that He has given to us. If all of the Christians hoard their toilet paper, it is one expression of their fear. We're going to leave our neighbors without. So this is might sound silly, but one of the ways that you can live as a Christian is share your TP, right? If you have more than you need, you know somebody who might need some, share your toilet paper. Don't look only to your own interests, but look also to the interests of others. Don't just hurry to the side of the road, but also go check on that person who might have a need. You don't need to go to their house. If you can check on them with a phone call or a text message, do that. Don't tempt God by putting yourself or them at unnecessary risk if you're carrying the virus. But by all means, use your time, your effort, your energy, your resources to help those in need, especially in times like these. You know, it's easy when there's a fire in a theater or when the Titanic is sinking for people to fall into mass hysteria and to only think about themselves, to become much more selfish than they normally would be when they're scared. The Word of God encourages us to do the opposite. The Spirit of God enables us to do the opposite. We must remain close to Jesus. We must stay focused in prayer. We must go deeper into the Word than ever before in times like these, so that we can be reminded of the mission and the purpose that God has given us in this life. And one of the blessings that God has given us in living in rural Alaska is there is a lot that we can do for one another that doesn't involve being within less than 6 feet of each other in an enclosed space where we can spread this virus by coughing on each other or touching the same stuff. Fortunately, we don't live in an urban area where you have to take the subway or the bus and be really close to people all the time. You can go outside and chop a neighbor's wood without any risk of giving them your disease. You're not going to be sneezing on their firewood. You can wear gloves. You can have a face mask on and just stay warm. And you can bless somebody and encourage them. You can go out in the country if you have a snow machine and a chainsaw and get firewood for somebody who needs it. You can look in your freezer, get some vacuum-packed food at no risk of contracting their disease. You know, you can wash your hands, make sure you're not sneezing on the package of extra meat. But if you have some food to share, it'd be a great thing to think of those people whose freezers are really running low this time of year. Not everybody even has chest freezers in Unocleat. Bring some food to a single mom, to an elder, to a family who is going without or is having a hard time. This is a time of year where a lot of people are really low on funds and on food, and it's not a good time for social isolation for them. With school being canceled, there's kids that are going to be missing out on those school meals. And as Christians, as the church and the body of Christ, our call is to love our neighbors and think of creative ways to meet needs. So checking in on 5 or 6 households that are around you, and maybe going a little further beyond that if you know of other people who might have special needs, checking in, making sure people have what they need and meeting those needs. It's easy to be too conservative for a lot of people and stay away thinking, oh, I don't want to give the disease But you may not have it, and that fear can keep you from helping other people. Don't let Satan put roadblocks up that keep you from loving your neighbor and meeting the needs of people around you just because you're afraid. We need to continue to focus in prayer, to focus in worship, and to be the people that God has called us to be. It's not something that we can do on our own. It's not something that we can do, that we're supposed to do by ourselves, but Christ has given us all that we need for righteousness and godliness in Him. And He's given us brothers and sisters to do it with. So let's remain focused on our mission, united as Christians to give and love and serve the Lord for the glory of His kingdom, for God's glory, for neighbor's good. The Lord be with you today and in the coming weeks. And I'd like to close this time with prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray that you be with each and every person in Unalakleet and beyond, all those who are dealing with not only the disease or the virus of COVID-19, but also those who are impacted by the social aspects and the recommendations of the CDC with this isolation time and quarantines. Lord, we ask that you would comfort each and every person who is frightened right now, that you'd remind them of their faith in you, remind them of your power, and that you'd remind them of their purpose so that they would be connected to the mission that you have called to each and every one. You've given each of us different gifts and resources. We pray, Lord, that we would not withhold those because we're afraid, but that we would focus even more on doing the work that you've called us to. I pray for boldness and faith and faithfulness in mission for each and every believer, that you would guide and lead each one, provide for every need. In Jesus' name, amen.